Hey, church, it's great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. I hope that everyone is having a great day. In case you didn't have a great week last week, we know that this is a new week, and I'm so thankful that we always have the opportunity to start over. What a blessing it is to be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ, and I'm thankful that you're here. Today I want to talk with you about, as you can see on the screen behind me, serving God with everything we have. The reason I think this is important is because, number one, the Bible says a lot about it. If you'll notice in both of our readings today, Jesus is asked in Mark chapter 12 that what is the greatest command, right? And so he tells them that God doesn't want any other gods before him. And he responds that we should love the Lord your God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then also, secondly, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And he says, on these two hang all the law and prophets. You know what Jesus is doing? He's quoting from what Bubba just read to us in Deuteronomy 4, where they were taught at a very young age, at least should have been taught from the time they could were born all the way up to teaching their children and their children and their children, and they should be teaching them diligently to what? Love the Lord your God. So as I look at that today, and Jesus took an Old Testament passage and made it a New Testament law that was written on our hearts, why are we here? And I'm not talking about here at Azalea City Church of Christ. I'm talking about here on earth, dwelling in this land. Why were we born? Because we were born to serve God. How are we to serve God with everything we have? It's as simple as that. As I unpack this lesson, I hope it to be very simplistic to you, but also very moving to you. Because let's be honest with ourselves. It's hard to get up every day and give God everything we have. It shouldn't be hard, but it is. How do I know it's hard? Because we don't do it. Because we fail at it so often times. And let me say that there are folks in this room who I'm thankful you're in this room, and I love you for being in this room. There are folks in this room that sometimes we just get together one time a week. And if I'm honest with myself, that's showing God and others that I don't really care a whole lot. There are those who aren't here. Those that are at home certainly watching on the live stream because they can't be here, but then there may be those on the live stream who have it on and just playing a little bit, doing other things and saying, oh, I've got it on, I've got worship on, and you know, that's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. God expects and deserves more than that. And so when I look at myself, I don't preach sermons I do not need to hear. I need to ask myself, Terry, are you giving God everything you have? Because as we have learned, not just through today, Jeff's message, but through a lot of times that people stand up here, what we have is not ours. We are only here because of God Almighty. We are only here because He wants us to be conduits. He wants us to be those that are His children that are trying to make other children for God. See, God made you, God made me, and everything that we know. We've talked this year about behold our God, but the question I need to ask now is, do we really, truly still stand in awe of Him? Are you standing as you were in January in awe of God? Let's begin by looking at what I call three fundamental scriptures for our lesson today. Number one comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. We've already heard it today. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Thankfully, it's very simplistic, right? Terry could sum it up in these words, love Him with everything you have. Serve Him with everything you have. So what does everything mean? It doesn't mean most things. It doesn't mean some things. It means everything. So you mean that I need to serve Him with my mouth? Absolutely. Do I need to serve Him with my thoughts and my brain and my wisdom? Yes, absolutely. Do I need to serve Him with my hands? Absolutely. Do I need to serve Him with my feet? And we could go on and on, right? Everything we have, from our head to our toes, we've got to serve God. That was so important to God that Moses instructed them to write it on the doorposts, write it on the gates as you go out and you come in so you'll see it. Why was it written on the doorposts? So that they would see it in their home. Why did they tie it around their fingers to remind them? Because the old, you know, remember people used to tie a string or something around your waist. Why? Now we have reminders go off on our phones. Why? To remind us to do something. They were to be reminded to teach, to get up and go to bed talking about God, serving God, and doing it so diligently that they taught it to their children every day as well. That's so important. I understand we live in 2024. And I understand that we are trying to reach a people that do not think like they did a long time ago. But let me tell you, my God hasn't changed. And so I can't water down what God expects. I appreciate Mike's prayer this morning. He said, thank you that Terry preaches the truth. And folks, as long as there is a breath in my body, I'm going to preach the truth, but I'm going to do it in love. And here's the truth. We can't water down what God expects. God expects our best. And listen, I'd love to tell you that you can give God about 10% of your life and you'd be okay. But I don't think I can't say that truthfully. God expects our all. Now here's the thing, and I said this in class this morning. Those gymnasts in the Olympics, you know, that walk on the balance beams, that's a 4-inch wide balance beam. And they don't just stand on it and walk on it. They flip on it and they do all kinds of things on that balance beam. And that blows my mind because I know how hard it is to stand. Could you imagine if God said, hey, you got a 4-inch balance beam, and I'm going to, the day you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you're going to walk on this all the way until you get to eternity. And if you fall off, it's over. Guys, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it about 3 steps. But see, there's amazing grace, right? We have this grace. Now, we can't fully rely on that grace, Romans 6, God forbid, right, if we just rely on grace. But thankfully, we have that grace and we have that moment and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. There are some days, even though I want to give 100%, I might not give 100%. But the beautiful thing is God can work with that. I'm not talking to that today. I'm talking to those who think, hey, I can give 10% to God and I'm okay. Here's the truth. No, you're not. You're not okay. That's what Deuteronomy 6:5. Here's another foundational verse for our lesson today. Romans 12:1. These aren't going to be verses you do not know. Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Today, we must all be a sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice, now think about it in the Old Testament, when they brought that sacrifice there, what did it do at the altar? It died. But let me tell you something, as you present yourself to God, you're still alive. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll still be alive. What does He expect? To present your body at the altar. The next day, present your body at the altar. Present your body every day there's a breath. That is a living sacrifice. And that's what God expects. But then thirdly, foundational verse comes from Matthew 5:16, the words of Jesus, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's a verse that we've talked about, we've quoted, we've used. It's about letting others see Christ living in us. In a dark world, it's about illuminating and letting our light shine. So in all three of these verses, we're gonna draw a sermon now off of all of those, okay? We're going to unpack these verses and make a lesson that I believe will help us understand what it means to serve God with everything we have. The first thing I want you to look at is this. Number one, we got to serve God with our whole heart. In Deuteronomy 6:5, the command is clear. It's clear also in Mark 12 and other gospel passages as well. We are to love and serve God with all our heart. Also all our soul and all our strength. But I want you to notice the repeated word here is what? All. All. That's important. He didn't say, serve God with all your heart, but most of your mind, and a little bit of your strength. See, they all go hand in hand. So let me ask you this. Where is your heart? Remember Jesus said it this way. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and thieves can break in and steal. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy nor thieves can break in and steal. Do not miss this part, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure today? Where is your heart today? Who holds your heart? Now, all of us in here, I believe, would say, God holds my heart. But how much of your heart does He hold? You see, that's the question. What is this time? This time is a reflection. This time is a challenge. My job is to preach the good news to you in love. And so here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to preach to the lost, but I'm also trying to preach to those who consider themselves the saved. And truth be told, sometimes we're living our lives and God is just holding a little bit of our heart. Now today, in this worship assembly, He's holding your heart. But tomorrow, is He going to hold your heart? Tomorrow, will you give all your heart to God? He doesn't want part. He wants and deserves all. So, what does it mean to serve God with our whole heart? What would that look like? Oh, I don't have these. Those are not sub-points. I messed that up. It looks like complete surrender. Complete surrender. When we serve God with everything we have, we are putting Him first in our priorities, in our decisions, in our time, and even in our struggles. Where are your priorities today? Again, going back to the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the necessities of life, will be added unto you. But He said first. What was the first commandment? Love no other gods before me. Now, in the New Testament, what is the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That means there is still no other gods before Him. There is still no other thing before Him. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Spirit. It's about the kingdom. It's about surrender. My priorities, my decisions. You making decisions on your own? Am I making decisions on my own? Those need to belong to God. Serving God with my whole heart looks like me waking up in the morning and asking God, Lord, show me the way I can serve you today. You see, that's the right mindset, isn't it? The right mindset is getting up in the morning and not saying, it's another day, it's Monday, I don't want to go to work, I don't want to do this, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to be a negative, negative. No, we should get up and we've got to get to a point where the first thing on our minds is, God, how can I bring glory and honor to your name today? What can I do to bring glory and honor and plant and water a seed for somebody in the kingdom today? You see, when I think about loving God with all of my heart, and I get to the point where He holds my whole heart, it will encourage and affect the way we interact with our family, how we treat others, how we spend our resources, and how we live our daily lives. So, as I think about this, and I think about serving God with everything I have, starting with my heart, it's going to affect every aspect of my life. Total surrender. So whether you're at work, Whether you're at home, whether you're in the community, God will own your heart. When that happens, it changes the way people see me. It changes my response. And listen, I'm not asking, God's not saying, get on this 4-inch balance beam and walk it from here to eternity. He's saying, give Him your best. Do the best you can every day of your lives, and it's going to help others notice. It's going to help others see. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. It's not about showing and getting glory from others. It's about showing God and getting glory from Him. Every task, every conversation, every decision we say or do, once God has our whole heart, it's going to make an impact for the kingdom, whether we believe it or not. So we have to ask the question, is there part of our lives that we're keeping back from God? Is it our time? Is it our energy? Or are we in a relationship? See, God's calling us today to serve Him with everything. And if there's anything today standing in the way of us and serving God completely, why would we not give it up? Why would we not lay it down at His feet and say, I can't handle this, and I'm sorry, I don't want this in the way anymore. See, that's what Deuteronomy 6 and Mark 12 is all about. Changing everything for God. But also, I want to talk to you today, again, it's about serving God with everything we have. So the first point is, we're going to serve Him with our whole hearts. Then we need to be an example. Once we do that, be an example to our family and our neighbors. You see, in James 1:22, James calls us there through the Spirit to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers. See, today I could tell you this, I could preach all this to you, and you might even agree with me, right? You might say, hey, that's true, and I hope you agree with me because it's biblical, but you know, we're going to say, hey, yes, I agree. All this is right. It is biblical. But then tomorrow we go and we just heard it. We haven't done anything about it. So now what do we have to do? Once I hear it, I got a choice. I'm either going to say, no, I'm not going to do that, or yes, I am. If I say, yes, I am, then you know who it's going to affect. We've already said it's going to affect everybody we come in contact with, but it's going to start with our family. The family relationship is the first thing God, once He made man and woman, created. You see, God wanted this earth to be Eden everywhere. God dwelt with the people. He dwelt with Adam. He dwelt with Eve in Eden, right? He brought heaven down to earth. And so what He wanted Adam and Eve to do were to be fruitful and multiply, so that we could keep making Edens and it would spread throughout this world. Paradise would be on earth. But we messed it up, because Satan also was there in Eden. But God made the family, and Satan has tried to destroy the family ever since. In Deuteronomy 6, going back to that great passage that Bubba read, in verse 5, he said, love the Lord your God with everything you have. Secondly, in verses 6 and 7, he says this, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Parents, your children are watching. And they are observing the way you live. Now, children will look to their parents for everything at a young age. When they get to be teenagers, they think their parents have no sense. But all that comes back in the end, right? And we realize how smart our parents really were. You know why? Because we're teaching them core values. as a youth minister, and I served some time as a youth minister, let's say I've got I have a 17-year-old child, okay, or a 14-year-old almost, and I come to Taylor, and I say, hey, Taylor, I haven't been involved, I haven't been coming to worship, and I haven't been doing Sunday school, and my children haven't been involved, but I want to start now. By the way, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, okay, you should. But if I go to Taylor and I say, hey, what can you and Katie do to get my kids involved? Taylor's response, it won't be this, but it ought to be, is, hey, it's almost too late. Where were you? What have you been doing? Now, Taylor's not going to do that. We want everybody, no matter where you are. God wants to meet you where you are, and it can succeed. And I've seen cases like that succeed. But I'm just saying that the core values are being taught from the little to the big. When it comes to worship, what do our children see? What do our children see? You see, our worship, our life to God, they're watching it. What is our approach? What's our approach to worship God? I didn't ask for permission from this. I've done it in class before, but I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I was away on a mini vacation with Jeff and Brandy, and our son was born one time. And we were worshiping that morning together. Okay, there were some other folks there, and we were worshiping together. And I was getting ready for worship, probably preparing some thoughts, and I heard singing on the balcony. And I'm like, what is that? And the more I listened, the more it was Brandy getting herself ready to worship. Now, that was a long time ago. Bo was just a little fella. But that made an impact on me. Because, you know what? At that time, I might listen to country music on the way to worship. I might listen to some news show on the way to worship. I might listen to whatever on the way to worship, a podcast, something like whatever. But now I don't do that anymore. I listen to gospel singing because my approach to worship should matter. How do you get yourselves ready for worship? Do you get yourself up early? Do you make your children go to bed on time? Well, I'm going to say this. Not everybody in this room, you have failed at that, okay? I'm just loving you enough to tell you because there's quite a few of you that didn't make it to Sunday school this morning. Now listen, I love you. And I'm going to still love you. But I'm going to teach the truth. That's Brother Mike said, I'm going to teach the truth, right? Oh, there's not a thou shalt not come to Sunday school verse, but there is a if my heart knows to do good and does not do it to him, it is sin. If you want your children to have a good, productive day tomorrow, I would imagine you're going to have them go to bed at a certain time tonight. Listen, I'm amazed, and I'm amazed at what I deal with teenagers every day currently through football and at home. But listen, I mean, my children, they go to bed. I don't even have to tell them, you know, they know it's time to go to bed. Because you know why? And I don't know that I necessarily had a bedtime, even as a teenager. I'm sure if I were up too late, my dad or mom would have come in and said, go your tail to bed. But I knew if I didn't go to sleep by 10 o'clock, I couldn't function the next day. I was so tired. As a teenager, I was just tired all the time. So I don't know how some people stay up late and still function at school. I imagine they're not functioning their best. But let me ask you this. Do you let your children stay up to all hours on a Saturday night? And then they're zombies if they do come to class. And they're falling asleep during worship. What is our approach? Listen, this is not, it didn't really matter. It's not really heaven or hell. I believe it is. Worship to God is heaven or hell. Do you know how much God expected things in the Old Testament? Let me just talk to you about the way the priests dressed. When they approached God, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I want you to listen to some of this from Exodus 28. Now, this is in dress. You know, and I get the society we live in, and you know, and such, and I know where we live and all, but I'm just saying, aside from thinking about Terry's talking to me about the way I dress, I'm talking to you about approach. Listen to what God said that He wanted the priests to do. First of all, He told them that He wanted them to go speak to all people who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me. That's God as priest. Just listen. All right, one of those garments was the ephod, right? Listen to this. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. These are the instructions of the fine artisans that they're going to make this and then give it to these to wear it to worship God, to minister to God. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and the fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen, artistically worked. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it shall be joined together, and the intricately woven band of the ephod which is on it shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones, where you get those from, and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel. Now, don't just take two stones. Now you've got to engrave the children of Israel on there. Six of their names on one stone and six on the other stone in order of their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. And you shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of gold. You shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains to the settings. And that's just the ephod. Whew, I don't have enough breath to read the rest of it. You know what he's saying to Aaron? You know what he's saying to his sons? Oh, by the way, I know Aaron was the high priest and Jesus is our high priest today, but you know what the Bible calls us? Priests. He's saying, your approach to me matters. Oh, well, that's Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is God. Our approach to worship. What are our children seeing? As we grow and we change, are our children seeing us make these decisions? How are we handling difficulties? Are we praying about them and with them? Are we serving others? Our neighbors are watching too. That's what Matthew 5:16 is about, really. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I know Ken's probably very uncomfortable for us to keep talking about him. But Ken came to worship today with a broken neck. On Wednesday night, when he was being told by the doctors, do not go anywhere, keep it still, his biggest disappointment was he couldn't be at Bible study. Ken's been at his house a long time. I don't know how long, but a while. I imagine his neighbors know Ken goes to worship. Do your neighbors know you do? No matter what. Do my neighbors know that I do? No matter what. It's not about doing it before men, but it's about doing it so that they will understand and see and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Our neighbors watch us pull on that cord of that weed eater, even when it doesn't start. After about 432 pulls. Again, we're not walking a balanced beam. We're imperfect people. But we got to take this serious, because God takes it serious. The final point I have for you today is this. Again, what's the overall theme? We're serving God with everything we have. It's got to start with the heart. That means we've got to be an example. And then third, I want you to remember that you are, and I am, imagers of God. In Genesis 1:27, here's how the verse reads. Let us make man in our image. Now, after that, you know what it says? God made man in His image. Now, they got together and talked about it, but God did the making. And you and I are made in the image of God. Now, for a long time, you probably thought, and I did as well, okay, well, I've got a spirit, or I've got a service, whatever, you know, we try to make up these things. But here's the thing. You know what it literally means? You and myself are to be imagers of God. We are to be reflections of God. If I don't start with love the Lord your God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, if I don't try to be that example to my family and to my neighbors, then I am failing miserably at being an imager of God. What does it mean to be an imager of God, a reflection of God? Number one, we're going to reflect this character. When we serve God with all we have, we're going to show the world what God is like. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." So as we grow in Christ, we're being transformed more and more into the image of God. That means, again, we're reflecting His character, His love, His mercy, His holiness. It's got to be evident in our lives. Secondly, we also got to be images of God in a very broken world. This world is full of brokenness. This world's full of sin. It would not take you 5 minutes to turn on the news or social media to be depressed, because there's so much sin, and it's being glorified, and it's being advertised, and it's what sells and everything else all around us. So let's understand this world is full of sin and brokenness. But you know what? God called us in this sin and in this brokenness to be imagers of Him. That means we're going to show this world what it means to live a life of holiness, purity, and love. People should be able to see something different in us. I believe that's what the Philippian jailer saw in Paul and Silas. Something different. They didn't react the way most jailers react, the most prisoners react. They didn't react when they were beaten the way most prisoners react. They didn't react when they were put in the inner prison and shackled there and left for dead the way others do. And so when they had the chance to flee, and they didn't, the jailer didn't need to hear a whole lot of preaching. He said, "I want to be what you have." They were reflecting God, even in prison. How well are we reflecting God's image? When people look at you and people look at me, do they see someone who is living for self or someone who is serving the Lord with all they have? Our goal should be to live in such a way that others see Christ in us and are drawn to Him. Some of you probably were working Wednesday night. Some of you, I love you, probably made the decision just not to come. Justin did a great job extending the invitation. He talked about Rockefeller. And that story, it just made a big impact on me because this man was worth $1 billion in 1916. Can't even fathom. I think he said $300 or $400 billion today, which would be by far the richest man in the world. You remember at a certain age he was trying to get, and then he got sick. Well, he lived after that sickness. Once he decided to change his life and surrender his life, he started doing things differently. He started reflecting God's character more in his giving and everything else. And so he got towards the end of his life and he wrote a diary, and he lived to be 93, I believe. 93 years old. The disease was like around 50, and so he lived another 40 years or so with this, after this disease. But here's what he wrote. God taught me that everything belongs to Him, and I am merely a conduit to carry out His will. My life has been one long happy holiday since then, full of work and play. I let go of my worries along the road, and God was wonderful to me every day. I don't know exactly how old you guys are, and I don't know how long you guys and myself, I know for me how long I've been in the Lord. But my question to you today is this: do we realize that everything we have belongs to Him? And all I am is a conduit to carry out His will. Today, if you don't love God with everything you have, first of all, if you haven't surrendered to Him, make the decision. Walk this aisle. Confess the greatest name ever born, that He is the Son of God. Be immersed in water, contacting the blood of Jesus, receiving the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, being added to the kingdom. But if you are here today and God's had 10% or less or 20% or less or not all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, something's been standing in the way, let's leave it behind. Some of you may need to do that publicly. Others may need to do it in their seat. But if you have a need, won't you come right now together, we stand and sing.